This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Okay, we'll call to order our South Dakota Retirement System Committee meeting today. I want to greet our internet listeners and welcome those of you that are in attendance here today. It's nice to see people come out and listen to how well our retirement system is doing. Reminder to turn off your cell phones, as we'd like to see everyone get through the meeting without having to buy donuts. I think that's what they normally tell us, but we'll make an exception naturally. At this time, we'll have the secretary make the roll call, please.
Nesbitt. Senator Nesbitt, excused. Smith.
Here.
Wismer.
Here.
Bolin.
Here.
White.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, so we have a quorum. We'll ask for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Have a motion. A second by Senator Smith. Motion by Senator Bolin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried. I guess we want to remind, if there's any testifiers, that you sign in before we go through the process of testifying, and it looks like we have everyone on there. So anyone has handouts that you would like to be sending around to the members, we have a page here, and at this time we'd ask maybe the page come up and identify herself and tell us about what school she's going to. Right there.
My name is Kaylin Thompson, and I'm from Webster.
And where are you going to college?
I have no clue yet.
Okay. Thank you. Well, welcome, and we look forward to having you for the next 2 weeks. Again, we want to just make sure that if there are any questions, that they come through the chair, and we'll then probably at this time start into the bills that we're going to be looking at today. So at this time, we'll go into the first bill, House Bill 110, and this is to recodify to make certain form and style change to clarify and to repeal certain provisions related to the South Dakota retirement system. Please identify yourself and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is proponent testimony for House Bill 1010. I am James Johns, Chair of the South Dakota Retirement System, Board of Trustees, and a captain with the Rapid City Police Department. I'm here as a proponent for House Bill 1010. Prior to beginning my presentation, though, may I ask for a personal privilege to have another Board of Trustee member in the audience introduce himself?
Certainly.
Roy Lindsay, Mayor of Madison.
Welcome, Roy.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Thank you for the opportunity to be before you today, and thank you for your support for the South Dakota retirement system. SDRS was consolidated in 1974, and to the best of our knowledge, House Bill 1010 is the first time since consolidation of the South Dakota retirement chapter of codified law has been restructured. The board is happy to bring this legislation that will make this complex topic more understandable and user-friendly for all. Before turning this testimony over to the South Dakota Retirement System General Counsel, Jackie Storm, let me again say thank you for your support and commitment to SDRS and the 90,000 members of our plan.
Thank you. Other proponents of House Bill 1010.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. I am Jackie Storm here on behalf of the South Dakota Retirement System. House Bill 1010 provides for the reorganization of the statutes governing the South Dakota Retirement System. This was a significant and time-consuming project and wouldn't have been possible if we didn't have an intern last summer who worked with us. Some of you may remember Stephanie Gruba, who was fiscal staff for the LRC before going to law school. She was our intern last summer and really helped us on this project. As their chair already alluded to, these statutes were not particularly well organized. They had been added to over the last 40, 45 years, and with that, the organization just became more convoluted. So we've gone through and organized them by subject. That's something that you can't really identify in the bill, but after enactment, I will be working with the Code Council and West Publishing to get them into the order that we have established. In the first section, you will see that there's a transfer of over 200 statutes entirely without any changes whatsoever. Those are going to go over to the new chapter, unamended. Then there are about 40 remaining statutes in the bill that are going to be amended for form and style and consistency. Just going to give you some highlights of what you'll find in the bill. In Section 2, you'll see the definition section. In addition to some general revisions, I would just note that the definition of teacher is now a certified school employee. There are a couple reasons why we made this change. First, the definition of teacher was outdated in that it listed certain entities, some of which no longer exist, or they exist by another name. It also wasn't fully descriptive of who we were actually talking about, because this section, this certain definition, actually covers administrators, counselors, psychologists, etc. So the new definition is more accurate and we believe will stand the test of time by removing the list of entities and adding that it'll be employees of participating units who are certified by the Department of Education. So again, these people will include not just teachers, but those administrators, psychologists, and counselors that are also certified by the Department of Education. Also in this section, you'll see that 7 substantive definitions were repealed. These have been moved to their separate sections. Those are sections 3 through 8 and 26. These are, again, substantive sections that really should be in their own definitions. For example, in Section 3, you'll see the definition of child. This describes exactly what an eligible child is for purposes of SDRS. 4 sections in this bill are included just to remove gender-specific terms. Those are sections 9, 13, 15, and 39. 2 sections in the bill are there to better reflect current practices. You'll see these in sections 10 and 20. In section 10, for example, it talks about the frequency and distribution of our reports. Currently, it refers to a biennial report, although we make this report annually. So we've updated the statute to reflect the annual report, and we've also included a requirement that the report be listed on our website, something that didn't exist when the statute first went into place. Several sections, 10 specifically, are revised to clarify, simplify, and modernize the language. If you're keeping a scorecard, those are sections 12, 14, 21, 24, 26, 38, and 40 to 43. Two sections are repealed as they are no longer necessary. Those are sections 11 and 17. In section 11, for example, it refers to the alternative methodology. This was something that the board proposed and you enacted a couple years ago with the generational benefit design. If the board were to propose further alternative methodologies for the payment of benefits, they would bring those forward to the legislature and they would have to be passed. So this section in and of itself is no longer needed. 2 sections of the bill were formerly parts of definitions that really didn't belong there, sections 22 and 23. In section 2, a portion of the definition vested that had to do with eligibility of benefits is made in a standalone section. And then the definition of COLA was split between the definition and the mechanics of the COLA. 11 sections of the bill, sections 27 to 37, are included to clarify the application of disability laws that became effective in July 1 of 2015. Then the second to last section refers to the administrative rules being in effect until amended by the board. And the last section is the section that creates the new chapter, states the Code Council will create that chapter and adjust the cross-references. I would just conclude by saying that House Bill 1010 has no material impact on the assets or liabilities of the South Dakota retirement system.
Thank you. Any other proponents to House Bill 1010? Any other proponents to House Bill 1010? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1010? Any opponents to House Bill 1010? Seeing no opponents, we'll close debate and open it up for committee questions and discussion. Senator Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Ms. Storm.
Okay.
I'm looking at Section 7 of the bill on page 19, and where you did the new section to define terminated. Could you review for me? Did you say that was taking language from a different part of the bill or of your existing law?
Chairman White and Senator Wismer.
Go ahead.
Yes. Section 7 that you're referring to is the definition of terminated. It comes directly from the definition section, and I would refer you to page 16, starting on line 11. So the language hasn't changed, but its placement has changed.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, at this time, we'd ask for committee action then.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Boland.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move due pass on House Bill 1010.
Is there a second? Senator Smith? Sorry. We'll, seconded the motion and on House Bill 1010. And at this time, I'd ask the Secretary to call for a vote.
Senator Nisba, excused. Smith?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Boland?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
4-1 excused.
Okay. On a vote 4-0. House Bill 1010 passes. Is there someone who wants to go on consent?
May I comment on that?
Certainly.
You know, I think we should. I'm kind of torn. This is obviously a pretty extensive revision of the laws in regards to the retirement system, but. I'm not willing to carry this bill on the floor, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer all the questions that could potentially come about. I think that might be something for the chair. That's part of his responsibilities. So I don't really know. I'd certainly invite comments by other members of the committee. Do you think this bill should go on consent? I'd invite other comments.
It's eligible. That's why I'm asking. It's eligible.
Yeah.
That's right. Senator?
Mr. Chairman, horribly complicated, extremely well done. I would make a motion that we go on consent.
Okay, we have a motion to go on consent. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
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 No.
Okay, that doesn't go.
Okay, then it will move to the floor. As approved. All right. We'll move to the next bill, which is House Bill 1011, revise certain provisions relating to the South Dakota retirement system. Are there any proponents to this bill at this time? Ms. Storm, you're busy today, aren't you?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Again, welcome.
Thank you. Chair, members of the committee, again, Jackie Storm on behalf of the South Dakota Retirement System. I refer to this as kind of a cleanup bill. As we went through the whole chapter of law dealing with the South Dakota retirement system for the bill that we just discussed, that you just acted on, we found some statutes that really needed to be clarified, or perhaps they needed to be revised because they were outdated, or maybe they were obsolete altogether. So that's what House Bill 1011 is doing. In addition to that, we did find that some provisions were out of sync with IRS rulings, and so we have also included in this bill some revisions to get us back into compliance with IRS qualification requirements. Section 1, you'll see, revises the definition of a juvenile corrections agent. It's currently limited to just employees of the Department of Corrections. Now, juvenile corrections agents are Class B personnel, Class B public safety members, and as proposed, the definition would include in this definition those that work at a juvenile corrections facility under the control of a participating employer, like a county, for example. Minnehaha County has such a facility. In other counties with a juvenile corrections facility, they fall under the Sheriff's Department, and as employees under the Sheriff's Department, they are already Class B members. In Minnehaha County, it's organized independent of the Sheriff's Department, and so these folks are not Class B. So this change in definition would bring those working at the Minnehaha County Juvenile Corrections Juvenile Detention Center under Class B, along with folks that do the same line of work in other counties. Sections 2 and 3 add more detail to statutes regarding permanent, full-time elected officials of SDRS. As you know, SDRS is a qualified plan as determined by the Internal Revenue Service. A significant advantage of a qualified plan is that employer and member contributions are not taxed when contributed, but instead when the benefits are paid out. One of the many requirements for a qualified plan is the participants do not have the option to opt in and out throughout their careers. Instead, they may be allowed an election once, and then that election is irrevocable. Recent IRS revenue rulings and regulations have confirmed this prohibition about continuing elections. So we discovered this compliance issue when we were dealing with a separate matter, but we have conferred with our outside tax counsel that this change must be done to meet IRS requirements for a qualified plan. Section 4 has to do with members leaving covered employment. If a member leaves covered employment, they have the opportunity to withdraw their accumulated contributions or take a refund. So this section adds a requirement that an application for refund be notarized, and that's just to ensure that we get the money to the rightful owner. Section 5 relates to contributions made while a member is on leave of absence. Contributions may be made by or on behalf of an employee while on leave of absence. And this section adds the requirement that if extra contributions are required for that person while working, then those same extra contributions must be made while on leave of absence. Sections 6, 7, and 11 relate to filling vacancies on the Board of Trustees. As background, elections occur in May, and the trustees serve 4-year terms, ending on June 30th. Now, a vacancy could occur due to the death or resignation of a trustee or because the trustee no longer fills the qualifying capacity. So in the case of death or resignation, the board would appoint a successor trustee, but rather than serving the remainder of the term, that trustee would serve a term that is no more than 4 years, but no less than 3 years, ending on June 30th, and then be filled by a normal election process. Now, if the vacancy occurred because the trustee no longer was in a qualifying capacity, that trustee would serve until the following June 30th and then again be filled by the normal election process and serve a 4-year term. Section 8 relates to the supplemental pension benefit and specifies that the supplemental pension benefit will be funded with pre-tax dollars. The SPB is a program that is used to provide additional financial security in retirement with lifetime benefits and cost of living allowances. Sections 9, 12, and 13 add more precise language to provisions relating to our supplemental retirement program, specifically the automatic enrollment. We want to include participants that are not currently contributing. We believe that additional savings is so important that we're reinitializing our auto enrollment program to catch those that were employed prior to the first rollout of auto enrollment. And this would just clarify that we pick up those that may have participated in the past but have since stopped contributing. And as always, they can opt out. Section 10 removes an outdated dollar maximum for the special pay program and adds a reference to the Internal Revenue Service to provide that maximum amount. The special pay program is, again, an additional retirement plan that's funded by employees' termination pay. In conclusion, House Bill 1011 has no material impact on the assets or liabilities of SDRS. However, Section 2 would eventually eliminate some small annual liability actuarial losses. With that, I will step back and wait for questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents to this bill? 1011, House Bill 1011. Any other proponents? Are there any other, are there any opponents to House Bill 1011? Any other opponents? Okay, then at this time we'll close testimony on 1011 and open up for committee questions. Any committee questions? Okay. Okay.
Just a brief question for Ms. Storm, if I could. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this just kind of a normal process of review? This bill just comes through a normal process of review that you do on a pretty much an annual basis, and something like this probably, it may not be quite as extensive as this, but this would come pretty much every year as you review statutes, go through things, new IRS rulings, all of those things, and this is just kind of the compilation that almost always would take place every year. Would that be accurate?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Boland, we continually review our statutes and we, you know, find things that might be out of sync. This was a little bit more extensive because since we were going through all the statutes in the chapter for the reorganization project, we actually touched every statute, and so this is probably a little more extensive than normal. But yes, we continually review our statutes to make sure that they're working the way that they're intended to work.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, at this point, then we would ask for committee discussion. Any committee discussion on it? All right, then we'll move into committee action.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass, House Bill 1011.
Okay, Senator Boland, there's a new due pass on Senate Bill 1011. I have a second from Senator Wismer. I'll ask the secretary to do a roll call.
Senator Nesba, excused. Smith.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Boland.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Four yeas and one excused.
Okay, we have a 4-0 vote on that, and so that means that House Bill 1011, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the South Dakota retirement system, has passed. I'll ask, again, it qualifies for consent. Pardon? Pardon? Okay. All right. And we'll move it to no motion, right?
I'm not okay. Making a motion.
No. All right. We'll move it to floor. Okay. So then the next bill is House Bill 1045. Revise the definition of campus security office for the purpose of South Dakota retirement system. Proponents.
Good afternoon, Chair and Committee. I'm Kayla Bastian, the Director of Human Resources for the South Dakota Board of Regents. House Bill 1045 revises the definition of campus security officers for the Regential System universities that would allow flexibility for four of our institutions to employ campus security officers that are sworn certified law enforcement. It's really just permissive language to allow that, and the result of that would be that if an institution so chose to do that, that those individuals would then become part of the Class B public safety members of the retirement system.
Thank you, Ms. Bastian. Any other proponents to House Bill 1045? Any more proponents to House Bill 1045?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome.
I'm with the South Dakota Retirement System.
Welcome.
Thank you. The South Dakota Retirement System worked directly with the Board of Regents on this issue, as is fully supportive of this change. It's been a long time ago when it was originally brought that we didn't include all the universities. Now, hindsight says we maybe should have had this law this way so many years ago, but we are favorable with this, and I think it would be a good change. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wiley. Any other proponents to House Bill 1045? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1045? Any opponents to House Bill 1045? At this time, we'll close testimony and open up for committee questions. Senators Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think for Ms. Bastian. Correct. Could you remind me the difference between Class B and whatever the other class is 10 years of service? What are the two different classifications?
Certainly. So it would make a difference in the contribution amount. So Class A members contribute 6% and are matched 6% by the employer. Class B is 8%. And then I may have to phone a friend. It used to be, I believe it is 10 years earlier still for the new group, but I'll look to Mr. Wiley.
The answer is yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So it would be 10 years earlier.
Follow up?
Follow.
You said... I think I heard somewhere voluntary, the campus. Did you mean to convey that the campuses can decide whether or not they're going to treat a particular campus security officer as a Class B or not?
Mr. Chair. No, so the language would be permissive, and when I said that they would have the flexibility to do so, currently South Dakota State University and the University of South Dakota have sworn and trained police officers that run their campus security operation. The rest of our institutions do not. They have campus security officers there. They also have MOUs with the local law enforcement agencies. So our campus security officers are not armed and sworn law enforcement officers. So if we went through the process to get them trained as a law enforcement officer and they were to be armed and be actual law enforcement employees, then they would be treated as Class B.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Senator Boland?
Yes. And I have a question for you as well. As I read the bill, I can understand what is why this is happening. Do you? But my question is, the Board of Regents also supervises the school for the deaf, and then there's another special school up in Aberdeen. Do you have security at those institutions? Do you any security officers there?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, mm-hmm. No, we would not have campus security officers on those institutions. They have other measures in place, as similar to K-12 schools do. And so this bill would not apply to them.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll close the questions and then have a committee discussion. Any discussion after the questions? All right.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Wismer.
I think I couldn't figure out how to phrase this as a question, so I'll pose it to the committee. I haven't been around for many retirement laws discussions, and maybe some of the rest of you have. Could you remind me what has been the... It seems to me that we're deciding to move more and more people into the Class B. I think there was a bill that did that last year for some other classification. What has been the... Maybe I have to... What has been the pushback, or has there been no pushback on, you know, this is costing whatever the state, whatever the employing entity is. Has there been much pushback on continuing to move more to a more expensive class where also you don't, with you have shorter years of service?
To my knowledge, I haven't seen a pushback, but if it's okay with you, I'd call Mr. Wiley up to answer the question. Rob?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Senator Wismer, it's a great question, actually. And traditionally, I will tell you that over the last probably decade and a half, there have been very limited number of changes to additions, that is, to Class B status. That is, those people that are, you know, law enforcement trained, and then there's some other features that sometimes have been included in Class B, and we've almost gone exclusively to places where there's law enforcement training. We have had parole agents and conservation officers and a variety of other groups that were in public safety, but not the traditional police and highway patrol and the likes. What's happened in the last few years is we've had some circumstances that have come to our attention, particularly in the juvenile corrections area. That was last year. That's the one you're thinking of. And when the original studies were done for Class B participation, for those people that really fit in that need to be probably recognized as having a shorter work span, because of the nature of the work and the physicality that was involved, there wasn't a juvenile correction organization. This is, you know, we're going back 20 years ago now, and organizations, the juvenile corrections, wasn't held separately from what was any of the other groups. And so we have had a little bit, both last year with the Department of Corrections, juvenile agents, juvenile corrections agents, and then this year catching up the Minnehaha. It maybe looks a little like we've had a little advancement here, but it has been something that really we've actually slowed down over the last decade and more, and tried to not move forward with them. But you're right in recognizing this last 2 years we have had a couple of different situations. The Regento one was probably a mistake that we made, you know, again, 15 years ago, that we should have recognized that just because SDSU and USD were the only ones at that time that had security officers that fit this bill, we should have recognized that the other universities were going to do it. And at that time, we wrote it that way, but really we should have wrote it more broadly. So there has been a little bit jump here, but in the broader picture and in the longer picture, it's actually gone the opposite way. We've actually constrained it, not promoted the idea very often, and I think we've came to the conclusion that for the most part, for now, for some time, it's pretty close to where we want to be, as you know, as far as all of the groups in that should be in. So a little bit of a long answer, but I know it seems like we've done quite a bit in that area right now, but it's a little bit of an anomaly because really we, over the last 15 years, we've actually gone the other way.
Any further discussion by committee members? Thank you, Mr. Wiley. Okay, at this time, we would ask for committee action.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass on House Bill 1045.
Okay, second. I have a motion by Senator Bolin and a second by Senator Nesba to due pass on House Bill 1045. At this time, we would ask the Secretary to do the roll call.
Senator Nesba.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Consent?
I will make the motion for consent this time.
Is there a second?
Yes, second.
I have a second. All in favor say say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nay? Okay, it'll go to the floor on consent. We have one bill left. It's an SB 45, and at this time... 42. Oh, excuse me, 42, excuse me. I have one bill left. It's SB 42. It is duplicate to actually House Bill 1045, and so at this time I'd ask for motion to table.
So moved.
Have a motion.
Second.
Second. That's a non-debatable motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Any further business as far as the committee is concerned? Okay, I then would entertain one more motion.
Move to adjourn.
I have a motion by Senator Boland and a second by Senator Smith to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. Thank you, folks.